In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Tonight we continue to explore the devotional practice of oratio, meditatio, and tentatio, or prayer, meditation, and temptation. These steps truly form faith and exercise one's faith in God. Last week we talked about prayer, and so tonight we move on to meditation. Now, the word meditation may conjure up different meanings and images in our minds. It's a word that's often used by folks, though many of them hardly mean the same thing. Meditation is, generally speaking, when someone focuses on a particular thing, whether it's words or one's own body or breath or a certain object. It varies in uses for different purposes. And when using the word meditation, one may think of the meditation used by a Buddhist monk to achieve enlightenment, or while others may think of it as just simply a device to kind of calm the mind and the body. But when we talk of Christian meditation, we mean something entirely different. Because at the heart of what makes Christian meditation different is that we don't focus on ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our souls. Rather, Christian meditation looks outward. We know that within ourselves we find nothing but sin. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And so the Christian finds nothing useful to meditate on within oneself. Because the sinful flesh's desire is to fulfill the cravings of the flesh and indulge in its desires. But we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And out of his great love and mercy for us, God has made us alive to him, to his son, Jesus, and the words that he gives. For his words are spirit and life, as John, in John chapter 6, confesses. Christian meditation focuses on Scripture, because through Scripture, God speaks. If we wish to hear the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, we must go to it to hear him. Otherwise, there are other spirits of the demonic realm that pervade all creation to try and get us to turn from faith and trust in God and to turn us away from his word. The Psalms praise the one who meditates on God's word. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night." The psalm that we read responsively this evening repeats the same blessing of meditation on God's word. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Scripture informs the new man we are in Christ our Lord. His commandments are what we meditate on. We set our hearts and minds daily on his promises and who we are in his promises. And that's why prayer that does not stick to Scripture will soon become poor in ideas, poor in faith, poor in love, and will finally die. because those ideas are not set in God's scriptural and eternal promises. Just as faith comes by hearing of Christ's words, so prayer is created and sustained by God's word. And that is our confidence in prayer. Our confidence is not in the praying of our own hearts, but in the promises of God. Christian meditation and prayer is not based on the instincts of the sinful heart. Instincts that, by their very nature, rob us of the fear and love and trust in God above all things. But rather, meditation and prayer are based on Christ's words, His commands and promises, His law and gospel. May we ever repeat Peter's refrain, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So prayer must start with God's promises described in Scripture, not our desires. And by doing so, prayer is an exercise of true faith. And so we flee to God for refuge, because He has the words of eternal life. We flee to Him in prayer because we realize our own shortcomings, sinful desires, and our need to be filled with His grace. And so we flee to His word that we may be filled by it. Now that we've talked about the theology and reasoning behind prayer and meditation on Scripture alone, now let's talk about practice. Perhaps at times we feel confused at Jesus' teachings, like the crowd at Capernaum was in John chapter 6. And Jesus said some weird things, kind of like this: "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." And it caused the crowd to say, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Who can believe it? Who can hear it?" And perhaps that's our reaction at times, meditating on Scripture. We either think that the Bible demands too much and we're caused to think, "Oh, who can listen to this? Who can actually do this?" Or maybe we think it's, and since we think that the Bible's demands are too much or too harsh, then we just ultimately abandon it. Or we think that it's just too hard to understand, and thus we abandon it. We don't meditate on it. Luther's practice of meditating on Scripture had changed throughout his life. Early in his life, when he was a Catholic monk, Luther was critical of the method of meditation that was used in the monk realm of people. Instead of truly using the Word of God in prayer, he used Scripture merely as a spiritual springboard for the prayer of the heart, or the mental veneration of the divine. Scripture was thus used as a stepping stone to get to God, not a means by which God came to Luther. And Luther was also critical of other practices, like the enthusiastic practice, which was when the inner word of the Holy Spirit was sought out inside of one's heart, not meditating on Scriptures, but just listening within oneself. And after much struggle and perhaps a faithlessness in the gifts which the Word of God gives, Luther finally settled and advocated for a meditation on the external Word. This Word is incarnated into flesh, embodied by human lips, being spoken by human lips, heard through the human ear. And in this way, the scripture that says faith comes by hearing is truly exercised in one's devotional practice. In this way, one's heart is worked on by God, for the way to the heart is through the ears. In meditation, we hear inwardly what is first spoken to us outwardly. So this shifted the practice of meditation for Luther, because it wasn't some mental act marked by inward reflection and silence. But rather, Christian meditation became a verbal activity. Verbal meditation became the primary way for textual meditation. And it's not as if reading a passage of Scripture once or twice was enough. But as a fellow Lutheran theologian, John Kleinig, puts it, Luther concentrated exclusively on it. He speaks it to himself again and again. He reads and rereads it. He compares what it says with what it says elsewhere in the Bible. He chews at it like a cow with its cud. He concentrates on it physically, mentally, emotionally, so that it reaches his heart, the core of his being. He receives what God has said to him and gives to him in his word. Scripture is meant to be chewed on repeatedly. Just as we chew food more than once before swallowing it, we should also chew, reflect, read, reread God's word before it finally reaches our heart. And this is what I would call textual meditation. Then there's another way Luther talks about meditating on Scripture. I call it liturgical meditation. Everything said and done in the liturgy comes from Scripture, and it centers yourself on the gifts that are given in the divine service, like forgiveness, life, salvation, the gifts that God brings to you every Sunday. So practically, this could include singing songs of the liturgy throughout your week, like the Kyrie, or the Gloria in Excelsis, or the Agnus Dei. Or you could repeat the chanted introit from Sunday, which comes from the Psalms. Or you could reread the collect of the day, which collects the themes of the scripture readings and the themes of that particular day in the church year and sets it to prayer. And by this liturgical meditation, a liturgy that may seem dry or boring or misunderstood can, through the Holy Spirit, teach you about the gifts of God, which come each Sunday. So by textual and liturgical meditation, the Lord forms, shapes, and instructs our prayers. Now, given our vocations and that we're pressed for time in our devotion and prayer, here are some suggestions for prayer and meditation on God's word. In the front of the narthex, there are some daily prayers for certain times of the day, as well as a list for the readings of each day. Now, the readings and the prayers are short. It would take perhaps 20 minutes a day. Read something from God's word and repeat phrases or verses throughout your day that jump out to you. Come back to it again throughout your day, time and time again. Chew on it like a cow chews on his cud. Then, when the Holy Spirit causes something to sink in, formulate a prayer out of it. And pray that continually throughout your day. I would suggest somewhere the prayer should be between 5 to 7 words. That way, you'll remember it. Pray that continually throughout your day. Whether you find some time to pray it to yourself while you're walking in between classes at school, or if you find some time to pray while on your lunch break at work. For the one who meditates on the Lord's words day and night is truly blessed. And the Lord will equip you with the full armor of God to fight the evil foe. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.